online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. It's the show where we talk about everything related to marketing plus technology. And hopefully by the end of the show, we'll give you something you can take away that'll help improve your company's bottom line. This is episode number 22, Smartphone Showdown. It's sort of a follow-up discussion from a show we posted about a year ago that also focused on smartphones. But now that a year has passed and a lot of new technology has hit the market, it's time to compare some hardware. So we'll have our panelists introduce themselves today and tell us what type of smartphone they're using. We'll start with Mr. Mark Scherseth.
Hi, I'm Mark Scherseth. I own a BlackBerry Curve. I think it's the, the 8330. Chuck?
Hey, I'm Chuck Demonic. I work as a systems analyst here, and I carry a Palm Pre with me.
And I'm Jason Gibb. I'm with the application development team, and I have an iPhone. It's the 3G, not the 3GS, unfortunately.
And I'm Anthony Suda. I'm the network manager, and I also have a BlackBerry Curve 8330.
I'm Eric Utz. I am an information architect, and I carry my old Palm Centro.
Ooh. Everyone wants to move away from Eric right now.
Dead platform on obsolete hardware.
Okay. Well, I will consider myself a pseudo-smartphone owner. I have an LG Dare with the Verizon network, and there's really not a whole lot of apps or things you can add to that. You get what you get. What I want to do is we're just going to kind of do a very loosely formatted show here today. We're going to kind of talk about the pros and cons of the different pieces of hardware. Everyone kind of knows what everyone else has been using and is very familiar with some of the features of each other's cell phones. Let's just start with some of the positives. I mean, what do you like about the pieces of hardware that you have? Chuck, I'm going to have you start out since you have sort of the newest player on the block, the Palm Pre.
Okay. I guess the main things that I found so far that I like are going to be the physical slide-out keyboard, even though it's not the best keyboard. I am one of those people who just needs something physical to touch. And the other main point that I really like about this one is the multitasking. The having the numerous cards open, jumping from one app to the other is really nice.
So how often do you take advantage of that? I'm curious.
Me, I take advantage of it all the time. Jump in and out of email, to the browser, to the messaging, apps.
Well, you just have it running all the time, right? You always have your email running, and you have your calendar always running. You don't have to launch them. And
yep, exactly.
It's just always running. Mm-hmm. Do you even shut them down?
A lot of times, no.
Any sync issues with that then?
Sync issues?
Yeah, with your Google Apps or anything. Do you ever need to reset?
No. It goes out and pulls behind the scenes all the time, whether it's open or not.
Do you have to kind of manage the memory of the apps within the phone?
I've only had it go down on me once with the out-of-memory error that pops up. And I think there's probably quite a few cards open for quite a while, but I've only had it once. I've read other people have had it more often than that, so...
What'd you call that? You call them cards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the web OS.
Each screen. Yeah.
Each screen, yeah. And then you can just kind of flick them up. It shrinks them down into a card form and then throw them off the screen, slide them to the next one, move them around.
Is it easy to forget stuff is running? Like you just switch over and forget to go back. Let's say you wanted to close it but just didn't. Is that kind of a contributing factor to things stacking up?
Well, it could be, except when you look at your home screen, if you have anything open, it's going to show up on your home screen, right? So if you're trying to close everything down and something's open, even if you've kind of flicked it up into the area, it's still going to be there front and center. So you'll always know you have something opened. If you have a bunch open, you might not know you have some way off to the side. But
so you kind of got big hands there. Do you have any sort of fat finger issues with this phone?
Not as many as I thought I would.
It's physically smaller than the iPhone. It's more, you yep. know, close to Mark's BlackBerry there.
Yeah, so the form factor is, the screen is a little bit smaller, but there's no onboard keyboard yet, or no on-screen keyboard as of yet, which is one thing I'm not a huge fan of, because it, every now and then it's kind of annoying to jump from like a browser and landscape mode to have to flip it around, pop open the keyboard, type in a, you know, a username, and then flip it back to landscape.
Mm-hmm. So you'd like to see kind of both the physical and the on-screen keyboard to give you flexibility?
Yep, absolutely. I think that would be a huge bonus if you could do that, because then when you have the landscape thing open, it just pop up. And
has Palm pushed down any software updates? Usually when a new device comes out shortly thereafter, you know, they're about to put a .01 update out because, you know, the users are reporting some errors. Has Palm done anything like that yet?
Yeah, the day I got it, we had the first webOS update, which was the day it went on sale.
Okay.
There have been three more since then. We're up to 104 right now, and 1.1 is coming out within the next 30 days is what I read.
For what your other things that you've read and researched on what's coming up for the Palm, is that keyboard potentially on the list, the touch keyboard?
It's potential. I don't know that it, I don't know if Palm will make it or if a third party will, but I think we'll see it at some point.
It more than likely would not require a hardware change. Can they do this just with the software?
Yeah, a virtual keyboard. I'm thinking they could put it on there with the software they have right now.
I think I just read something here recently, either today or something, that there's actually, I think the analysts feel that there's actually a demand for that on-screen keyboard, despite what their designers thought.
So, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll probably see it. That'd be.
I would think so. I would hope to see numerous software updates still coming down the pipe.
All right, what about before we leave this pre thing here? What about your phone as modem? You kind of been working on that lately. You want to talk to?
Yeah. Well, okay. Phone as a modem isn't actually. I don't know. I'll use the word allowed, I guess. So you have to get in there and you have to root it. But if you look at the homebrew apps that are available, there's actually more homebrew apps available right now than there are through Palm's App Store. And one of them is called, the one that I really like is called My Tether, and it actually allows you to turn on tethering in multiple ways. You can use USB or Bluetooth, the standard way, or you can use Wi-Fi and turn it on, and it actually turns your phone into a little access point that could be shared.
Sweet.
How does that work with your iPhone?
Oh, as far as I know, there is no tethering available at this point in time with the iPhone.
Yeah, it looks like there's no plan, at least with AT&T.
Yeah, with AT&T.
That's AT&T's problem, right?
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. It's the support's built into the new software, but yes, sorely disappointed in AT&T for that.
I thought it was interesting when Apple had their recent reveal of the iPhone 3GS. They, you know, there was sort of the needle in the side. They were poking, you know, AT&T pretty hard, saying that, you know, tethering will be available. It's available in this country. Not in the U.S. yet.
Yep. Yeah, I saw the keynote, and there was a lot of boos towards AT&T from the audience.
And that is something that actually does work on my Centro.
Old
Not
technology.
Officially, but...
Was that pretty easy to set up?
Yeah, it's... Pretty much you download the software and install it, and the trickiest part is getting the dial-up settings correct on your computer. But once those are all correct, you connect to it to the phone with your computer, and boom, you're on.
And with the BlackBerry, it's with the Curve here, it's just a few minutes. It's the same kind of deal on Sprint anyway. It's you basically just dial #77 is your phone number, yep. and mm-hmm. you know,
just via Bluetooth. Is that?
Yep. Go Bluetooth. Okay. You got to pair it first mm-hmm. with your machine, but after that, it's simple.
What kind of speeds do you see?
Well, you know, Bluetooth, you're not going to get more than what is it, like 900?
I think it maxes at 1 meg.
Yeah.
So Bluetooth is the limit, not necessarily the carrier speed.
Yeah, but even if you were tethered physically, you're going to have you're not gonna get much more than a meg anyway.
Yeah, okay. I use it with USB, and that's so I can charge the phone at the same time. And you know, it's pretty fast.
I've watched Hulu before.
Yeah.
So it's fast enough for Hulu.
That's pretty good.
On low res.
Sprint 3G is very sprinty.
And it's actually available in this area, which is...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question. Do the other carriers charge for tethering capabilities?
As of right now, anyway, Sprint doesn't have a plan available, at least for the pre. My understanding is that's probably why you can't tether it, or, you know, tether it as it is right now, is because they're going to open up a plan for it, potentially.
Oh. The BlackBerry curve with Sprint does.
Just basic internet package that includes like unlimited data and all that. It includes a tethering option. It's kind of more of the, from how I understand, it's more of the BlackBerry. Well, it has it. So, you know, here's the software package, make it go. So,
how is battery life for you guys?
Maybe it's easy. Is there anyone who has great battery life? That's probably the way to go on.
I mean, you're all using it pretty heavy. I mean, if you're tethering and everything else.
Yeah. Well,
but you plug in whenever you have a chance, right?
Fairly frequently. Yeah. Especially the pre's battery life is not outstanding.
Can you make it through a day?
You can make it through a day, but if you're you know, doing something like streaming Pandora the whole day, then you would be empty by the time you get home.
So. I'd say the same is the case for the BlackBerry curve. I mean, I don't know. Suda, maybe you'd want to comment on this more recently. You've been replacing batteries like mad.
That was actually a problem with the port on the side. I couldn't charge mine, but even when I could, I was only getting maybe a day out of it. So when I first got them, I mean, they would go like 2 or 3 days, but it's almost been a year. So you know, I guess it's kind of normal.
I've found the battery on my iPhone isn't too bad. I usually don't worry about it, but what seems to drain it the most is when I'm using apps heavily. Mm-hmm. There, you know,
wireless apps.
No, just regular old apps. If I'm playing a game or you know doing something else on my iPhone, it's I'm surprised at how quickly the battery starts to go down. If it's just sitting there, or I'm doing light, you know, calendaring or email or you know basic stuff, then it seems to last pretty. You know, I see it at the end of the day. Maybe it's gone down a third or something like that at the most.
Well, speaking of apps, that's pretty much what set the iPhone apart when it came out onto the market, was its ability to run virtually anything anybody can think up. Knowing what's available on the pre, how is the pre have the potential to become what the iPhone is, or has Apple just got too big of a lead and they're not going to slow down?
Oh, I don't know that they'll catch them. I think the webOS itself is definitely a platform that could run those apps the same as the iPhone, I think. But the problem is the iPhone has a very large developer community, and Palm is really being pokey with getting their SDK out to public release. So,
well, I think iPhone, you know, very successful. There are 3 of them, right? I think, you know, iPhone was first to market with their device, or at least first to implement. And I think if you look at the pre, nice product, webOS, they're the only manufacturers of that are using that OS. So I think one thing we haven't really mentioned here is, you know, this, you know, fourth quarter, I think we're going to see somewhere around 20 some devices released to the market for the Android operating system.
And you were eyeing that one. You're waiting for that one to get.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for that one. But I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, many devices on that just at the end of this year. And then probably the following year, you're going to have, you know, several more, many more. And so you have, because you don't have that developer lock-in, or excuse me, the manufacturer lock-in. Mm-hmm. So I think that lead that Apple has, which is clearly a huge lead, I think they have 1.5 billion applications sold today, or downloaded today, on their App Store. I think that lead is going to start to diminish some, you know, over time. And I think when we talk about the pre, you know, unless I think they get some more devices starting coming out from other manufacturers, they might kind of plateau at some point. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, they at least they're spreading. I saw they do have GSM pre's hitting now over in Europe, I believe. I don't know what their release date is, but and I believe that the phone is going to spread to other carriers in the U.S. here starting next year, which might increase adoption. And it would be nice to see some other hardware. It would be really exciting to see it come out on other vendors' hardware.
I right.
Because really, the key behind the Pre is WebOS. It's not the hardware. The hardware is just so-so, but WebOS is a product that I think they could really yeah. sell.
And I think they'd have to open that up, you know, mm-hmm. a lot more to make it more attractive for those other vendors, other manufacturers. So, like, you basically do something like Android has done.
Yeah, I think ultimately,
or Symbian or something.
I was going to say, I think ultimately, if the developers can make money, that's where it's going to go. And I think right. you know, developers have been making money on the iPhone, you know, mainly because of the ease with which consumers can access those apps and download them and purchase them. You know, the fact that, you know, for the first however many months, Apple didn't even offer an SDK. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to, you know, happen on the other platforms as well. But you know, unless there's unless it's really easy for consumers to find and buy apps both through the phone and through other sources, you know, I think that's going to be the biggest barrier to anyone threatening Apple.
I think the iPod Touch plays a big role too, because you don't need a carrier. You can just
True.
Buy it off the shelf and take it home and use the App Store the same way. It's just the iPhone without the phone.
You're saying basically. The iPod Touch
helps to drive the developer, the iTunes Store.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything.
I agree with that.
Of course, I've heard that the new iPod Touch is coming out supposedly in the next few months. I've heard rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably. Christmas is coming.
With a camera, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric, you know, we were just talking about the developer community a little bit. You've been dabbling a little bit in that area of developing stuff for the iPhone and iPod Touch. What's your experience been with that so far?
Mostly with web apps. And one thing that really kind of gives a win to all of the devices, or most of the devices we're talking about, is they're almost universally adopting the WebKit web browser in new smartphones. Android, Palm, Apple, of course. I believe, does the one touchscreen BlackBerry use the...
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
But there are others that are utilizing WebKit too, and what that kind of does is gives a very stable browsing experience that you can develop for. If you have an idea of this is what it's going to look like in mobile Safari, chances are it'll look the same or relatively the same on the Pre in the web browser, on Android, and even desktop computers, because it's almost the whole desktop browser renderer are the same thing. And it's really made it almost easy to develop web application type applications for them.
So is there, I have to ask, is there Flash support in other phone browsers? Because there is not on the iPhone, which is kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm. Coming soon. I believe they said, December is when they're launching it for BlackBerry, Pre, and some Symbian devices?
Everything happens at the end of this year.
Everything except for the iPhone, believe it or not, is the one phone that they're not going to be releasing at that time.
But yeah. I'm going to call it an Android Christmas, though, because there's far more, you know, big Android-related releases at the end of this year, so... We're going to see consumers actually, you know, saying Android this year, I think, when come Christmas time. We'll see.
So wasn't there some issue with a trademark for the name Android?
That's been actually pretty quiet lately. There's a lawsuit I think there's a bunch of blogs about that a couple months back, and the person who actually owns Android, who's trademarked Android, was... disputing that with Google and all the members of the Open Handset Alliance. So I don't know where that's sitting right now, actually. I gotta look that one up. But it kind of just went silent, so it makes me wonder if maybe they just solved the problem with money. Made it go away.
When we all went out and bought our very first cell phone, we wanted to do one thing, make a phone call. Now, when we go out and look for phones, we want to do everything else, and we're just assuming we can make a phone call. So let's get down to the root of what these devices are supposed to do, and that's make phone calls that hopefully don't drop out. What good and bad have you guys seen through your models as far as sound quality goes? People on the other end, can they hear you okay?
I'll start on that one. I'm using the BlackBerry. I think it's more issue of a carrier.
Okay.
For when it comes to whether calls are dropping. I'm not blaming that one on the actual hardware. But the sound quality, it's choppy on the other end. So people hearing me are not hearing every,
like there's a lot of
every
say,
syllable.
Like noise cancellation going on. It's not doing a good job on your end.
That I actually will blame the hardware for. But I mean, usually we can hear just fine. It's just the other person can't hear you on the BlackBerry because it's, I don't know, the microphone's on the bottom, and usually I just have to hold it in a way so that I cut my hand around it.
I always have to chuckle when I see various people using their phone. They'll get on the phone and all of a sudden their voice will go up eight levels in decibel. It's like shouting will help, but
yeah, but the volume doesn't go up, does it?
No,
it just sounds dumber. Mm-hmm.
I can speak to my iPhone with AT&T. Of course, here in Fargo, there's no 3G coverage for any of the high-speed wireless data stuff, but the phone service seems to be okay. I've had people tell me they can hear me just fine. No real issues there. The sound seems to come through fairly clearly, but I've noticed that there are dead spots. Since in this area we're on a partner network, there's no actual AT&T coverage in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's coming though.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Yep, the deal's going down.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah,
the deal's going down.
Yes, it is.
Sooner rather than later. But I found that certain parts of like North Fargo, I'll go up there and look, no service, and it's kind of surprising and scary to see that. I just can't wait for real AT&T service to reach the area.
Any credibility to the rumors that Apple and Verizon are talking?
I've read several blogs on the subject. I don't know in the last month if they've actually come to anything, but I think there's been discussions even before they got together with AT&T.
Well, during the developers conference, they certainly fueled those rumors by poking at AT&T quite a bit.
Yeah, they did. I think the thing was there just wasn't enough control offered to Verizon wouldn't want to give as much control as Apple wanted in the deal. So
yeah,
I saw an article yesterday about Verizon. All future smartphones will only have the Verizon App Store, or only ship with the Verizon App Store.
And
if that's true, other phone manufacturers may have been to that, but Apple wouldn't. So
the few, I haven't installed any other apps other than the free mail program that came with a phone. But you go and browse the Verizon App Store, and everything is a subscription. There's nothing you can buy for 99 cents or $2 or $10, and it's yours. Everything is subscription based, as far as what I've seen so far, and that's an instant turn off right now. I'm nickeled and dimed enough on these devices as it is. I don't want to do any more.
But Eric, what you're talking about there, Verizon actually is going to be offering some. There's an upside to that. It's going to be easier, supposedly, for developers to get approved. Plus, there's going to be actually more than just one type of app on, app flavor on there as well.
They're
going to shut out every other app store.
Yeah, I was really commenting on the quality of what the Verizon, it's just whatever the quality would be, Apple, I don't think, would yield giving up its own app store to use Verizon's. That's the only point I was making.
Okay. It's also supposed to be more lucrative for the developer, whatever that means, but I mean, they would have to certify in multiple places then. That's just one more place they would have to get their app approved, so it seems like it's kind of a
And if it's anything like what Lon was talking about, I was on Verizon for a while, and it wasn't a smartphone that I had, but it was one of those, you look through their app store, and it is, you know, here's $3.99 a month for Ms. Pac-Man. It's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. those of us in the room that are old enough to remember back growing up as kids, our parents, with the phone company that they had to deal with at the time, in order to have a phone in the house, you had to have that phone company's phone in the house. Obviously, things have changed since then, but we're at that point now with cell phone providers. Does the industry need to take a similar path in order for more development, more innovation to happen? Does it just have to happen where you buy a phone, you put it on any network you want?
I think that's exactly where it needs to be. The fact that that phones are tied to particular networks, I've always thought is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I'll be the first to say, I think iPhones should, the fact that Apple tied it to AT&T, you know, I'm sure it's been very lucrative for both of them, but mm-hmm. it's been to the detriment of the consumer, I think.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to chime in and agree here, too, that it has to go that way eventually. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Google got into this Android platform as well, is to just release the phone from its carrier, from its manufacturer, release the, you know, basically loosen everything up so we can actually get some competition, and all for the consumer, basically, to make it a better experience for the consumer.
What do you think that's going to do to the price of the phones? I know, like right now, when you look at buying a phone, you know, BlackBerry's $800 on contract, $99, you know, if that.
Well, I mean, somewhere you're paying for that phone, though. You know, you're paying for it in your carrier plan.
Right. So what happens if you, you know, take out the carrier from the picture? Now do we have to pay $800 for a phone?
Well, maybe that's where the strength of these app stores is going to come into play. Those, you know, by be able to, you know, you buy an iPhone, you cannot go in, let's predict that you won't be able to go to the Palm store and buy a Palm app that'll run on the iPhone. You still got to go to the iTunes store and get apps from there. Perhaps that's where the money will be coming from.
So you're saying it's like subsidized through the stores?
Yeah, instead of the phone company subsidizing, the app stores will be doing the subsidizing.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, phone prices will eventually come down as the technology mm-hmm. gets better, and, you know, they won't cost $700 for a phone.
They can make it like a country club membership. You have to pay, you know, $50 over the next year on apps or something like that. It's not a bar tab, it's an app tab. Well, guys, you got any other topics you wanted to bring up for today's show?
Yeah, I saw a little announcement here that RIM is launching a little social network sometime tonight, some sort of social network site that allow users to, you know, praise or complain or whatever, give feedback about their products. And has anyone else heard about this thing? You're kind of shaking your head over there, Sudo.
I read the same probably article.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why they would do that on their own and not use something that like Facebook or Twitter or some other system for getting that feedback. Does anyone know anything about this?
No, I've just seen the headlines, just like you're looking at there.
Okay, be kind of interesting to see what gets posted out there.
I think it
tonight.
Does kind of it kind of speaks to a point though that I think RIM is trying to expand out of its, you know, enterprise only type of stigma, and maybe more so into the personal social scene that seems to be doing so well for phones right now.
Quick little survey. How often do you guys use your cell phones for the social networks, Twitter and Facebook, etc.? Are you you do it quite commonly, or on the weekends when you feel like it?
Every so often. I did install the Twitterific and Facebook apps, mm-hmm. Both free off of Apple's App Store.
Okay.
But yeah, I just pop them open whenever I'm bored or something, but not too often.
What do you want to see as features down the road in your phones? What do you want that's definitely not there, maybe not even being discussed at this point?
I would actually like to see better social network integration. I would like to be able to, on my Curve, to be able to take a, you know, photo and put it up on Twitter without, you know, having all the complications that I seem to have. I might be challenged here, but I it just hasn't been a very good user experience for me. So I'd like to see a better user experience for interfacing with my cloud-related services that I use.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see kind of some, there's some cool possibilities with both location awareness and the camera. I'd like to, you know, it'd be neat to see an app where I could point it at anything, be it a store or a landmark or a product that I'm holding in my hand or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, and get full information about that without having to.
Apple's, you know, got new patents crazy. On that.
Yeah, isn't that the new augmented reality apps that they're talking about?
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, those will be nice.
So Apple will own that too.
Yeah. Well, no, I've heard of those coming out for all the devices.
Yeah, but they have the, there's a patent that recently was exposed or whatever with Apple regarding object identification with mobile devices. Hmm. So,
all hail our Apple overlords.
One more quick question for everybody here. From a business standpoint, the rule of thumb is you got to have a BlackBerry. BlackBerry and business are synonymous with one another. They have been for some time. iPhone obviously making inroads, and now the Pre is obviously the next big contender. Are there really any detriments to any one of the platforms from a business perspective?
I don't think so. I think, at least from what I've seen, all of them now offer everything that you know, a business of almost any size would need. You have your full Exchange mm-hmm. integration, integration with Google Apps in the cloud. You know, I mean, there's, I guess I don't know what else you'd want.
Maybe it's more just looking at the provider and price packages, things like that. Anthony, you can probably talk to that.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, since everything is kind of moving to the cloud and everybody's either on Exchange or already in the cloud with Google Apps, it's it really doesn't matter what device you have. You can usually get it to sync at the very least your email. Whereas before, you know, back even 2-3 years ago, if you wanted to get all that together, you had to have a BlackBerry and you had to have a BlackBerry Enterprise server. And then that would talk with Exchange. And then you'd get all your calendar and your email and all that. But now, yeah, the platforms are I don't know if they're all just so similar or just people are realizing that, okay, this is something people want, period, with a smartphone. So mm-hmm. here, we better make something for it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for me, it's software as a service is what I think is proliferating the adoption in the enterprise for mobile devices. So you're going to see a push by all of our vendors to be able to hook into the major SaaS providers. You know, and I think that's really, you know, what's going to be the differentiator, or the disqualifier rather. If you're not able to hook into Google Apps seamlessly or Microsoft's new latest offering in the cloud, I think you're going to be eventually going to be hurting. So as a provider or a vendor.
Very good, guys. Thanks very much for joining us today. For those of you listening at home, check the website. We're going to have links to all the major manufacturers so you can go compare each smartphone for yourself. If you have any questions for us here at the podcast, you can send an email to thepodcast@sundog.net. For Mark, Chuck, Eric, Jason, Anthony, and of course our Apple overlords, this is Lon Keller saying thanks for joining us for another edition of Sundog the Podcast.